The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Sleeps, where I, your host, DJ Papaya, will explore the world of sleep and a condition called insomnia, where each episode will be dedicated to exploring the vitality of sleep and the detriments of depriving yourself of it, alongside the implications that insomnia entails. In this episode, we'll be diving deeper into insomnia, its causes, how to prevent it, and things such as that. To prevent insomnia, establishing a regular sleep schedule, creating a relaxing bedtime routine, and optimizing your sleep environment by making it dark, quiet, and cool. Additionally, limiting caffeine and alcohol, getting regular daytime exercise, and avoiding large meals and excessive fluids before bedtime is known to help people prevent insomnia or aid people that have insomnia in being able to sleep. Regarding the sleep environment, it is keeping it dark, quiet, and cool, using things like blackout curtains, earplugs, or a white noise machine if needed. Ensuring comfort, making sure your mattress and pillows are comfortable, reserving the bed for sleep, so avoiding working or watching TV in your bed or doing your homework so that your brain doesn't associate it with being awake. Something that I've found has helped me in the many years I've dealt with insomnia is making sure that my bed is only used for sleeping, as if I noticed that at some points in my life when I would use my bed just to study because I didn't want to get up or doom scroll on TikTok, that it made it more difficult for me to fall asleep because my brain was associating my bed with doing those things rather than sleeping. Concerning routines and habits, sticking to a schedule, like going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time every day, even on the weekends, is something that I've also found to help me, as it makes sure that my body is becoming used to this schedule, so it makes it easier for me. Even when I'm experiencing days of insomnia where it's difficult for me to stay asleep, it helps me later on be able to go to sleep and make sure that it doesn't disrupt my daily routines. In regards to winding down, start a relaxing pre-sleep routine at least an hour before bed, like taking a warm bath or reading a book. I like listening to a podcast or just white noise before I go to bed. Limiting naps. If you need to nap, keep it short and avoid it late in the afternoon. For me, my insomnia used to be worse when I would take naps during the day, so I've completely eliminated them from my routine, just because if I was able to nap for an hour, 30 minutes during the day, it would greatly affect my ability to stay asleep during the night. And avoiding stimulants. This is like limiting or avoiding caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol, especially in the hours before bed. Regarding daytime activities, exercising regularly. So regular exercise can improve sleep, but avoiding intense workouts close to bedtime. Watching your diet, avoiding heavy meals or spicy foods before bed, and managing your fluid, limiting how much you drink in the evening to prevent nighttime awakenings to go to the bathroom during the night. And some things to do when you can't sleep is get out of bed. If you can't fall asleep after 15 to 20 minutes, get up and do something in another room until you feel tired, then try to go back to sleep. I've spent countless hours just staring at a wall trying to get myself to go back to sleep, and I can assure you it's never worked. It's, if anything, made it worse, because now I'm used to this routine of staring at a wall for a couple hours before I'm able to go back to sleep. And if you can't sleep, well, you just can't sleep, and it's not really something that you can force, and not worrying about it, watching the clock or stressing about not sleeping too intensely can make it worse, as you have racing thoughts and your brain is all scrambled, which never helps. And when to seek professional help is if insomnia persists for several months, it's best to consult a doctor. They may recommend cognitive behavior therapy or suggest checking if any medication you're taking could be a factor, because if you are already taking medications like anxiety medications, they could make this sleep pattern worse, or they could put you on medication to try to improve your sleeping patterns. You guys get the point. Sleep tests to monitor sleep patterns and rule out other disorders like sleep apnea. These are overnight sleep studies that monitor brain waves, heart rate, and breathing, which other ones use wrist-worn devices to track activity and rest over a period of days. And there's also a physical part of the exam where a doctor will perform a physical exam to check for signs of other conditions that may affect sleep. A sleep diary where you're asked to keep a diary of your sleep habits to provide to your doctor with information about your sleep patterns, including when you go to bed, wake up, and how long you slept. Next, I wanted to discuss the common sleep studies that are done when diagnosing sleep disorders like insomnia. The first one is polysomnogram. This is an overnight test conducted in a sleep lab that records your brain waves, heart rate, breathing, eye movements, and muscle activity while you sleep. It can help diagnose sleep disorders like sleep apnea, restless leg syndrome, and other sleep disorders that can cause or worsen insomnia. The next one is actigraph. This test involves wearing a watch-like device that tracks your sleep-wake cycle over a period of several days to a few weeks. It provides information on your activity and rest patterns, often used in conjunction with a sleep diary. Last is MSLT. This test is often done after a polysomnogram to measure how quickly you fall asleep during the day. It may be used to help diagnose conditions like narcolepsy. I also wanted to discuss how insomnia can be detected by blood tests, or why a blood test is done, because this is something that when I was being diagnosed with insomnia was very odd to me, because I wasn't understanding or really could fathom why I would need a blood test for something that's more of a disorder in your brain than a physical one. But a blood test reveals markers of inflammation such as C-reactive protein, CRP, that can indicate potential sleep disorders like insomnia or sleep apnea. Addressing inflammation through lifestyle changes or medical interventions can improve sleep quality and overall health. There are other deficiencies that can lead to insomnia. Deficiencies in vitamin D, B12, and magnesium, as well as iron, can cause or worsen insomnia. Low levels of vitamin D disrupt sleep hormones, while vitamin B12 is needed for nerve function and melatonin production. Magnesium is a relaxation mineral, and iron deficiency can cause restless leg syndrome, which makes it hard to fall asleep. So, specific deficiencies: vitamin D regulates sleep hormones in low levels that are linked to insomnia. Vitamin B12 is essential for nerve function, which regulates production of melatonin, and that's the hormone that regulates sleep. Magnesium plays a role in relaxation. Low levels have been linked to muscle tension and sleep disruptions. Iron, a deficiency in iron can lead to restless leg syndrome and a condition that makes it difficult to fall asleep, which is something that I also have. My deficiency with iron is also linked to my anemia, which is something that I've had since I was born, because I'm a twin and my twin ate all the food in the womb. So that's something that is also linked to why I have insomnia personally. Other vitamins that also affect insomnia are deficiencies in B6, C, and E, which indirectly affect sleep quality. Other factors are your diet. A balanced diet can help ensure you get necessary vitamins and minerals. For example, magnesium can be found in nuts, seeds, and leafy greens. And vitamin D is synthesized through sun exposure, but also found in fatty fish. Medical conditions also affect insomnia, and if you need help with any of these factors of insomnia that I have listed, also seeking professional guidance is the best way to go. I also wanted to discuss a little bit on how insomnia affects women's health according to womenshealth.gov, because insomnia does affect a large percentage of women in comparison to males. So insomnia can cause you to feel tired, anxious, or irritable in the short term. Over time, lack of sleep may increase your risk for more serious problems, including accidents, health problems, including diabetes and high blood pressure, and increased risk for falls, especially in older women. Women who have long-term insomnia may be more at a risk than men with long-term insomnia for mood swings, heart disease, and stroke and obesity. Another thing that affects insomnia in women is pregnancy. This is something that is commonly developed in women during pregnancy, and something that if you're experiencing, it's important to seek help for, as sleep during pregnancy is very vital. In a previous episode, I mentioned cognitive behavior therapy, but I wanted to get into a little bit more on how it works and how it helps treat insomnia. Is that something that I didn't quite mention in the previous episode? So research shows that CBT works as well as prescription medication for people who have chronic or long-term insomnia. CBT helps you change thoughts and actions that may be getting in the way of sleep. This type of therapy is also used to treat conditions such as depression, anxiety disorders, and eating disorders. For success with CBT, you may also need to start seeing a therapist weekly for 2 months or more. Common things that involve CBT is keeping a diary to track your sleep, replacing negative thoughts about sleep with positive thinking. This includes linking being in bed to being asleep and not to the problems you have falling asleep. Talking with a therapist alone or in group sessions, this can help you identify and change any unhelpful thoughts and behaviors about sleep. The body systems that are affected when a person is struggling with insomnia, well, there are multiple body systems, including the central nervous system, immune system, cardiovascular system, and endocrine system. It impairs the brain's ability to process information and can weaken the immune response. It also disrupts hormones that regulate appetite and stress, increases the risk of cardiovascular problems, and negatively affects blood pressure and inflammation levels. In regards to the central nervous system, it disrupts how your body sends and processes information. It can negatively affect mental abilities and emotional state, and may lead to heightened arousal, which can make sleep not feel restorative. As for the emotional state, I can say that with my insomnia, it definitely makes me more prone to having mood swings, and I feel like my mood is very imbalanced. And when I was first diagnosed with insomnia, it's something that I did take medication for to help balance my emotional state. As a child growing up, it's already difficult to be able to control your emotions, and this added a lot to that. So if that's something that you're also struggling with, that's something that did help me short term, but it's not something that I continued long term, and it's not something that negatively affects my life today. Regarding the immune system, it prevents the immune system from producing protective substances like antibodies and cytokines while you sleep, which increases susceptibility to illness, which is something that I also experience in my long-term insomnia. It affects the cardiovascular system as it increases the cardiovascular diseases like hypertension and heart disease. It affects processes that keep the heart and blood vessels healthy and contributes to elevated blood pressure and inflammation. Regarding the endocrine system, it disrupts the production of hormones, including those that regulate appetite and stress. This can lead to